God is whispering to us, reminding us that we belong to God and to one another. In order to hear it, though, we must listen. Too often we are busy speaking at each other, past one another, over each other, and about each other.
That's the Reverend Dr. Tripp Martin, and today he brings you a challenging message entitled, A Pin Drop. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're delighted to have with us the Reverend Dr. Tripp Martin, pastor of Auburn First Baptist Church in Auburn, Alabama. Previously, he was pastor of Vineville Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia, and earlier served as associate pastor of Northminster Baptist Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Tripp earned a Bachelor of Business Administration degree from the University of Georgia and received his Master of Divinity from the Divinity School at Wake Forest University. After serving in churches for several years, he completed his Doctor of Ministry degree from McAfee School of Theology at Mercer University in Atlanta, concentrating on preaching and worship. Tripp, welcome to Day One.
Thank you, Peter. It's good to be here.
You've been the pastor of Auburn First Baptist Church in Auburn, Alabama for about 4 years now. When you were with us 5 years ago, you were serving in Macon, Georgia. So what drew you to accept the call to Auburn?
Well, the search committee called, and we were certainly open to God's nudges, even though we were very happy where we were and enjoying the work we were doing in Macon and the people we were doing church with.
Mm-hmm.
But through those conversations with the search committee at Auburn First Baptist, new opportunities started to open themselves, and we felt drawn to go and offer what we could in their ministry.
So what are some of your favorite aspects of church life and ministry there?
I think most of all, it's the relationships that you are able to develop with people through the life of the church, whether that is the weekly routine of gathering each Sunday for worship, or connecting with them and what's taking place in their lives as they are caring for an aging parent, celebrating the birth of a child, and everything else that sort of happens in living out one's faith together collectively.
And of course, you're in a university city and the church is not far at all from the campus. So how does that impact the church and its work there?
Well, there is the obvious ways of just the calendar that's affected by university life.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different pace to the summers as there is to fall semester or spring semester. There's things that come along with football season and having students in town. And it really is just a wonderful, vibrant city with a lot of character, and we enjoy being there.
And you're in the so-called Bible Belt, but what are you finding that works and doesn't work in reaching out to young people like these college students?
That's a good question. I think it varies amongst college students. I think we always have to be careful not to typecast any group of people, even by generation or by age.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find that regardless of where they grew up or what they have been accustomed to, what is always universal is just a sense of authenticity, sincerity, offering welcome and kindness, support and encouragement during that chapter of their lives.
You also serve on the Board of Trustees for our parent organization, the Alliance for Christian Media, as well as on the Day One Advisory Board of Pastors, Scholars, and Church Leaders. Why have you been drawn to serve in this way?
Well, I think that one of the important gifts of the church is the spoken voice, is the preached word, where we join our voices together as churches and say a good word on behalf of the gospel, on behalf of God's love. And I think that is the unique focus of the purpose of Day One, to give energy around the spoken word and to put an emphasis on the preached word.
Well, we're grateful for your leadership.
Well, I enjoy being a part of that group.
So why do you think you had that inclination earlier in your life for the ministry?
Well, I grew up in a church that was loving and supportive, a family that really was dedicated to the life of the church. My grandfather and I have an aunt who are both Baptist pastors. And I think all of that was a part of that influence in my life. And then I had some great experiences through the youth group, mentors that took an interest in my life, and then experiences like mission trips to various places that sort of opened the door to those kinds of possibilities and that sense of calling.
Tripp, you earned a degree in business administration from the University of Georgia. So how did you shift into the ordained ministry?
Well, I actually, when I started college, had a pretty good inclination that that was the direction in which my life would unfold. But when I talked to my grandfather, who was a pastor in South Georgia, he suggested a business degree, simply stating that I would get my ministerial education later, and that a very practical, basic degree like that would give me different tools that might be helpful in different ways.
Your sermon today is based on the psalm appointed for this Sunday, Psalm 78. I love the psalms, but we don't get very many sermons based on them. What draws you to the psalms?
I think they, as oftentimes have been called, the prayer book of the Bible. And there's a different personal touch in those words. You can almost imagine a group of people or one individual offering those words as a prayer, yearning for the presence of God or responding to the presence of God in their lives.
Would you read Psalm 78 for us?
Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments.
Tripp, we look forward to learning more about this in your sermon, A Pin Drop. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Peter. As a boy, I remember opening a brand new pair of walkie-talkies, and after getting several AA batteries, my brother and I ran immediately to opposite sides of the house. One of us found a door to hide behind, and the other ducked down behind a chair. We turned on the walkie-talkies, imagining we were on some sort of secret mission to save the world. My brother might have said, "This is Eagle One. This is Eagle One. Can you hear me? Over." Apparently, you have to have a really good nickname when you are using a walkie-talkie. I said, "TJ, this is Trip. Eagle One, this is Tiger by the tail. I can hear you, Eagle One. Over." He said, "Tiger by the tail is too long of a name. Pick something different." I said, "No, it's not. Over." We spent the remainder of the afternoon running around the house, hiding behind the furniture, and talking to one another on those walkie-talkies. I remember you had to be close enough to each other and not too far away in order to get a good signal. But even when you were close enough, you could not scream into the walkie-talkies. Simply talking louder did not mean the other person would hear you. If you spoke too loud, the other person only heard static. You had to slow down and talk softly in order to be heard. When you were the person listening, you also had to be still and ignore all of your surroundings. You could not run from behind the door to behind the chair and still hear what was said. You had to slow down, and you had to focus solely on the voice on the other end of the call. Part of the work of the church is to teach us to listen in a world that only wants to speak. I sat down recently with a group of children in order to read them a story from the Bible. They all sat down in a circle on the carpet. On each square of the carpet, there were letters of the alphabet, and each child was assigned a particular letter on which to sit. I pulled up a small red chair and asked the children if I could read them a story. They were all excited. I started to read them the story about Jesus feeding the 5,000. It begins, "When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself." Before I could keep reading the next sentence, some of them started to shout, "Who is John?" Then someone grabbed my shoestring, pulling it to get my attention. So I looked down and she said, "I sit on letter M." I tried to keep reading, suggesting, "Imagine Jesus sitting in this boat, going off by himself." They leaned in a little bit closer to listen. Then one of them said, "I don't want to read a story anymore." When we finished reading, we talked about the love of Jesus in this story and how God loves all people. But in looking back, it was also important that we were learning to listen. We learn to listen not just for information, but also for discernment, sifting through the questions of life. We learn to listen not to react quickly to every dilemma, but to respond thoughtfully and prayerfully. We learn to listen not only to speak, but so we can speak truthfully, kindly, and compassionately. Listening is found at the heart of the church. When we gather for worship on Sunday, we are merely pausing long enough to listen. When we sing, it is for our ears. When we read Scripture, we are trying to hear what we have not heard before or what we need to hear again. When we pray, we not only speak, but we also listen. In the place where I worship each week, we also pause for a time of silence, because in the silence, the only sound we hear is the presence of God. As the psalmist says, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching, incline your ears to the words of my mouth." God calls us to listen because God is still speaking. God is speaking through parables and old sayings, opening our hearts to new ways of living shaped by the grace of God. But we live in a world that only wants to speak. God is whispering to us, reminding us that we belong to God and to one another. In order to hear it, though, we must listen. Too often we are busy speaking at each other, past one another, over each other, and about each other. We are listening only because we are trying to think of what to say next. Another popular children's gift, like the walkie-talkies, is a toy megaphone. If it is the first gift opened at a birthday party, it might also be the last gift opened, because for the rest of the party and for the rest of the day, the only thing the birthday boy wants to do is talk through the megaphone. It is quite the feeling, hearing your voice amplified as the loudest voice in the room. After the party is over and the decorations are coming down, the parents might ask the birthday boy what he wants for dinner, and through the megaphone he shouts, "I want a grilled cheese." But as the boy turns around, he sees his parents hiding under the sink. It was so loud, it was hard to hear. All they could do is take cover. We are learning to distinguish God's voice amongst the others, which is rather difficult because God is speaking through us, for us, and to us. It is not the type of listening we use when we flip through the television channels, scroll through the songs on our phones, or play our favorite podcast as we drive down the road. It is more like walking outside at dusk and hearing the chirping of the crickets all around us. It is hearing something that makes us silent. It is when we can hear a pin drop, like when the choir finishes singing and the beauty of the song fills the room, and we do not have words to describe it. When we hear something sacred, all we can do is be quiet. We are learning to recognize God's voice, which is the voice of love and justice, hope and healing. As we drive home from worship each week, there is a good chance we are all asking a similar question. On the way home, we might turn to one another and say, "What did you think of church today?" Perhaps a clearer way to ask that question is, "What did you hear? What did you hear in the songs, in the people, in the prayers, in the scripture reading, or in the silence? Did you hear whispers of forgiveness? Did you hear how everyone belongs? Did you hear the cries of others in need?" We are learning to listen in the church so we can better listen for those same things throughout the world. Recognizing God's voice, wherever kindness is spoken, wherever justice is needed, wherever humility is voiced, wherever mercy is given, or wherever community is formed. In a book by Susan Cain entitled Quiet, she tells the story of Rosa Parks, which most of us learn while we are studying history in elementary school. Rosa Parks was a great civil rights leader who spoke up and refused to move from her seat on the bus. In this sacred moment, she led other voices to speak up as well. It was in Montgomery, Alabama, on December 1, 1955, 62 years ago, but her voice is still heard today. She got on the bus after a long day of work, standing on her feet and leaning over an ironing board. She sat down on the front row of what was called the colored section of the bus. But at each stop, more people got on until the whites-only section filled up. Then, at the next bus stop, more people got on. But there was no place to sit. So the driver ordered Rosa Parks to give her seat to a white passenger. She refused. Even when she was arrested, she refused to give up her seat. And when Rosa Parks spoke up, a boycott started of the bus system, and it lasted 381 days. In many of the obituaries that were written about Rosa Parks, Kane noticed how she was oftentimes described as timid, shy, and quiet. They are not the adjectives we might imagine after hearing her story. Apparently, though, Rosa Parks was able to speak up because she first knew how to listen. God continues to speak through us, for us, and to us in various ways. When we hear it, we become quiet, where we can hear a pin drop. But if we incline our ears to hear the voices of mercy and the need for justice, we will know how to speak up as well. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful that you continue to speak to a world that struggles to listen. Give us moments of silence where we can be still, hearing what cannot be heard above the noise. Allow us to focus on your voice of mercy and justice, forgiveness and hope. Instill in us an awareness of your presence as we listen for the needs of others. And when it is time to speak up, may we speak with your grace. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Dr. Tripp Martin, senior pastor of Auburn First Baptist Church in Auburn, Alabama. For a free printed transcript of his message, A Pin Drop, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. To listen again to today's program, share a sermon transcript, or watch inspiring videos, visit us online at dayone.org. And keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial contributions of our faithful listeners. If you appreciate our ministry, please consider sending a donation. We're grateful for your much-needed support. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week on Day One, we're delighted to welcome the Reverend Dr. Casey Baggett, Executive Minister of Community Church of Vero Beach, Florida, a United Church of Christ congregation. Her sermon is entitled, Making It Matter. Be sure to be listening. Trip Martin offers some final reflections on today's message with our host, Peter Wallace.
Trip, you shared your childhood story of playing with walkie-talkies with your brother, noting that you really had to stop talking and listen or the message wouldn't get through. And then you said part of the work of the church is to teach us to listen in a world that only wants to speak. In our culture, listening does seem to be a lost art, or at least a fading one. We're constantly bombarded by noise and words and messages and media. So how do we overcome the easy tendency to just numb ourselves to the noise rather than really try to listen?
I think that is very difficult because I think it takes practice. Mm-hmm. I do not think listening just comes easy, particularly as we are conditioned by so many conversations and noises and mm-hmm. things taking place around us. But in practicing listening to the people around us, to the presence of God, it draws things out of our lives, and we discover things we might not have discovered before.
You said we learn to listen not just for information, but also for discernment, sifting through the questions of life. We learn to listen not to react quickly to every dilemma, but to respond thoughtfully and prayerfully. Would you unpack that a bit for us? We need to be very intentional about this, don't we?
I think so. I think listening takes a certain amount of time that we do not always anticipate. Like leaving the doctor's office and hoping that we're going to feel better in 24 hours, and then 3 days later we realize we've got to be patient because healing takes longer than we might expect. Mm. I think listening is similar. We can listen for information and have that immediately at hand, but in order to sit with a situation or a question or a dilemma, or to figure out how to respond and not just to quickly react, it takes more time than we might expect.
You also said we learn to listen not only to speak, but so we can speak truthfully, kindly, and compassionately. God continues to speak through us, for us, and to us in various ways, you said, and if we incline our ears to hear the voices of mercy and the need for justice, we will know how to speak up as well. These times call for us who follow Jesus to speak up for mercy and justice, don't they?
I think so. I think that's always been true of the church. It's just found its way to us in different ways, and there have been different needs. Mm-hmm. Along the way, but the practice of listening, I think, has always been central.
Trip, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
I think it's hard to talk about listening, so hopefully we find time to hear what's happening around us in different ways, whether that's taking time to pause and simply be still, or as we're driving down the road or sitting in church or at our desk at work, that we're more aware and mindful of what is really taking place around us.
Mm-hmm. Trip Martin, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.